It's been a wonderful journey during these weeks of Epiphany to sit with the Lord on the side of the mountain, to hear his words to us again as he described how good it is in the kingdom that he brings, how wonderful it is, and what it truly is like to be with him now and into eternity. I'm going to invite you to say with me these words that our Lord gave us to describe his kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Today we come to the last of these Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The blessings sounded great until we hit the P word, persecuted. Persecuted is not something we want, to feel torment and struggle. As I asked the children, have you ever been teased? Have you ever been made fun of or ridiculed or treated badly? Indeed, it's part of the way humanity seems to prefer to relate to itself, to people who are designated as the other rather than us. Being persecuted has two forms in Jesus' usage of the words here. In fact, the following two verses that follow this one, Jesus refers to persecution that's not just about being righteous, but about himself. But let's start with the first kind of persecution, or rather, the first source of persecution. That is righteousness. There's something about righteousness that draws us in, but sometimes repels. And we find it to be true, even in our own hearts. It's as old as the first brothers, this persecution for righteousness' sake. We're told in the story of Cain and Abel that Cain's sacrifice was acceptable to the Lord, but his brother's Abel's was not. Abel was angry. His face was downcast. The Lord said to him, "Be careful, Cain. Don't you know that you will also be accepted if you do what is right?" Cain becomes embittered, angry, and out of that comes persecution. He will eliminate his brother so that he won't have to feel inferior anymore. In fact, righteousness breeds that kind of hostility in our very hearts. When we feel that we are somehow deficient or less than or under another, we feel that ugliness begin to well up in us. Oh, we hope it never takes the level of murder as it did for Cain. But righteousness causes persecution to fester. Dan told me he remembered being in high school, and some of his friends decided they were going to make a victim out of one of their classmates. And they were going to pull a cruel trick on this classmate. Dan felt the torment in his heart to do what is righteous, to not go along and aid and abet his wayward friends. But he knew that if he stood up against them, he would face cruel treatment himself for being someone who was going to stick up for that loser. Dan realized there might be a persecution if he decided to do the righteous thing. Last year, I met a man named Rick. We were talking about his job and experience. He said, I used to work for the government, and I really liked what I did. It was a great job. And I really wanted to excel there, but I found that everyone in my office said, no, 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 don't work too hard, don't work too fast. You take your breaks, take them longer than you're supposed to, because they don't pay us what we're worth here. He said, I felt the tension of righteousness, doing the right thing, giving my best to my employer was somehow a bad idea. And I realized that if I decided I was going to do the righteous thing, I was going to pay for it, because my coworkers would then look bad and they would hate me and there would be a price to pay. Maybe you've worked in an environment like that. Maybe you've felt the tension of persecution for righteousness' sake. You don't have to be a Christian to experience that. People who know what is good and right and who have enough light from God that they understand the difference between right and wrong enter into this tension every day. Then there was Vera. Vera had been a part of the church for a long time, and some of the sisters in the church liked to call each other on the phone and talk about this one and that one and this one and that one. And sometimes when Vera picked up the phone, she could feel the tension. The Spirit convicting her that this was gossip, this was sin, this displeased the Lord, this divided the fellowship. Vera sometimes didn't want to answer the phone because she didn't want to get sucked into that unrighteousness. But she knew that if she didn't pick up the phone very often, then she'd be the next one they were talking about when they called the next sister in the church. Dan and Rick and Vera began to understand, just like you and I do, that there's a price to be paid for doing what is right, for giving the best that we can, doing all that God has for us to do. And sometimes, in silence, to avoid our own persecution, we become complicit in assisting what is not pleasing to the Lord. Jesus says, how good it will be for those who face persecution because they choose to do the right thing. In fact, just a few verses after this, Jesus will say to those listening to him, your righteousness must go way beyond that of the Pharisees. They're the ones who teach you the law. They're the ones who are the leaders of your religious community. And they always know how to put on the right show and say the right words on the Sabbath. But their hearts are far from me. They are vile. They are like snakes. Your righteousness must be better than theirs if you ever want to enter the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of God. But beware, listeners, to Jesus. You must be bold in your righteousness, and when you are, you will be persecuted. But the persecution cannot keep you out of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Oh, it's worth it. Maybe like the listeners on the hill, you and I are in the midst of situations right now where our righteousness is barely surpassing that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. We find ourselves in compromised positions to maintain peace with the people around us, maybe even in our own families. But we're a peace-loving people. This is Canada. We believe in peace, order, and good government, but Jesus says something that raises against that. Righteousness exalts a nation. Blessed are those who pursue righteousness. They will be persecuted, guaranteed. But what kingdom is it we want to dwell in? The dominion of Her Majesty or the dominion of His glory? Jesus will go on to say something else about persecution. Well, I'm hoping the next slide will come. Okay, we missed that one. He said that you'll also face persecution because of me, because of Jesus himself. Because the path that follows Jesus, the discipling journey that he puts us on, the changes that his Spirit shapes in us, are a calling to be more loving, to be more holy, to be more honest than we ever learned how to in our families or our churches or our communities or our schools. And when we follow this calling, we find that persecution comes. The passage that was read earlier by our sister, where Paul is writing to Timothy, his last words to him, knowing that he's about to die, saying, Timothy, I've been persecuted over and over and over everywhere I speak of Jesus. They love me one weekend, they hate me the next. In another place, Paul would account his shipwrecks, stoning, beatings, imprisonments, all the things that were faced to him persecution because of his love for Jesus, because of his boldness for Jesus, that when he spoke that name, there was indeed a hard price to pay, a painful physical price to pay. Timothy, this may be true for you. Timothy is in the 21st century. This may be true for us as well. Thank God we live in a land where active persecution of any religious group is intolerable. However, let us not be naive about how subtle persecution works. The Holy Spirit's priorities for your life and mine put us on a different trajectory. We become more than just good citizens of the land. We become people who are more holy and more honest and more righteous because the Spirit creates this within us. And when we proclaim it in Jesus' name, there is a power and a push back. In a few weeks, I'm going to teach a class on spiritual warfare. It's on a Saturday, the 11th. You'll see it listed in the bulletin insert. I hope you'll come. Because even today, we face spiritual warfare. And there is a way we want, as Methodist Christians, to respond faithfully, firmly, confidently to the forces at work in our world, to the spiritual forces that are sometimes at work, discovering what the powers are according to the Scriptures, and how we rightfully hold our ground and push forward as Jesus calls us to. I hope you'll come to that special class. But for the moment, know this. God's priorities and desires for my life and yours and our life as a corporate group are a holy thing. And as we become more like Jesus, we will find greater and greater hostility to what God is doing in us and through us. One church leader said, if you're not facing persecution, then maybe you should ask if you're really following Jesus to begin with. Because if you are indeed on the path that he walks, there will be resistance. The enemy will push back. You will suffer. And a lack of suffering may mean that your spirituality has gone cold. That was chilling when I first heard it said. But the more I think and pray about it, the more true I think it is. The journey to the kingdom of heaven is a journey of suffering, as many in other parts of the world know all too well. I want to show you a video of a community in Colombia, in South America, a community of people who decided that they were going to be very serious about Jesus, his righteousness, and they found that the powers around them were quite difficult to fight against. Listen carefully as the leader of this small community of people describes the reasons why they are made to suffer. you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. And in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Holy Father, you invite us to understand and respond to the persecution that comes upon righteousness. We pray this day that you would help us to see with your eyes, to have strength to overcome moments of subtle persecution, and hearts shaped by your love and holiness to resist even more intense forms of persecution. Bless those who do what is right. Guide their cause. Provide their needs. We thank you that you will shape us even through persecution. Grant us your grace. How good it will be when you give us these things to overcome the trials before us. Amen.
You hear me when I call. You are the morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush my enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
My strength is in your name. My strength is in your name.